Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for AMC's The Walking Dead. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
This week, we're talking about Season 2, Episode 12, entitled Better Angels. Do we have any news this week?
No.
No? What a shocker. All right, then let's move right into the recap.
The Walking Dead's been canceled. There'll be no episode tomorrow or next week.
The Watching Dead or The Walking Dead has
both
been canceled? Which
both.
One came first?
AMC called me tonight and said, hey, you guys, we're no longer in need of our services.
Yeah, we're taking you off the air.
Andrew Lincoln has filed a lawsuit in federal court against me.
For your intro last
for
week.
For identity theft.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So
to be fair, I did buy a boat. With nothing but a Ford social security number and his accent.
Oh, well, yeah.
So
how'd you get his credit card number?
I didn't need it. His accent was
That's his authentication?
That's right.
Nice.
I said, people, listen up. I'm going to have to commandeer this bass boat. It is shiny and red flaked, and I love it.
All right. So the episode starts off with Shane, Daryl, Andrea, and T-Dog driving around the farm, checking fences, tracking, killing walkers, and Rick delivering a eulogy over the top of it for Dale.
Very well done. I was super excited at this scene, and I'm like, oh, you know, I started to creep forward to the edge of my seat.
Mm-hmm.
My popcorn bowl clutched tightly.
Yeah. Thinking, oh, man, this might be a good one.
Yeah. It reminds me of ever since Glenn Mazera said he wants to make this more cinematic, I start seeing these homages to other movies. Like, this reminded me very much of, like, in any Michael Bay movie, like The Rock, where the president is giving some speech while a bunch of people are doing random cool shit.
Yep.
Like,
yep,
as
yep,
the Navy yep. SEALs are storming, this is a, before I incinerate 200 American citizens, we must reflect on how we've shit on these patriotic people. And then as shit's going on, reminded me of. I think they use that music from that.
Yeah. And this is a... This kind of brings it back around to the season premiere where Rick's on his walkie-talkie and he's doing his voiceover. Very few voiceovers in the series, but when they use them, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Shane obviously doesn't like what Rick's saying about Dale, about honoring him and how now that he's dead, the group is going to do exactly what he wanted. I don't get that either. Like, okay, so you decide not to do what Dale wants.
Mm-hmm.
He dies and now you change your mind.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortably on Team Shane's side.
Yeah.
I don't like being on the same side of as an attempted rapist and a murderer, mm-hmm. serial killer now.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I find myself on his side a lot.
Yeah, he's also a serial truth teller. I mean, he tells it like it is a lot of the time.
Yeah, he doesn't do with facts, but with overall situations, yeah, he delivers the goods on that.
Yeah. Some really cool zombie kills in this scene. You know, you get one where Shane just blasts a dude with a shovel.
That was pretty cool.
And then they're kicking the zombie. And
what did you think? The only one that, and it feels like I'm bagging on Andrea, but her pitchfork kill was very poorly done, I thought.
As far as the CG?
Just the way it's composited and her,
her,
you know, a little action girl crouch with it. Not a fan.
I can imagine how difficult it must be to act like you're stabbing something solid when there's nothing there. Like, she didn't really stab that guy in the head.
Then let someone that's good at it do it and have her, you know, swing a baseball bat in the air.
What if every time they went to do that, they brought in Ray Park or somebody to do that stunt?
That'd twirl the pitchfork.
Yeah. It's a double-ended pitchfork.
Yeah.
So then Rick gives out some orders.
That'd be incredibly useful on the farm. You could just bale so much hay with
yeah,
that.
Man.
Just both sides.
Definitely.
Just paddle right through that field.
So Rick gives out some orders that Shane basically doesn't agree with. He's saying again, all right, we're going to go do the same thing we were going to do with Randall before.
We're going to do it right so this way.
Trouble.
This is how we honor Dale.
They honored Dale by giving T-Dog a line, too. Finally. Finally.
As Reddit says... Dale died so that T-Dog could have lines.
Yeah. His sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the scene, there's this look between Lori and Shane that, to me, says, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Rick's doing something dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel the same way about that, or did you think it said something else? Or
yeah, I thought she was ringing the dinner bell again. And I've got, let's get to the next scene before we start ripping into this latest soap opera twist.
So then Rick and Herschel and Andrea are all talking about Shane, and that he's kind of out of control, whatever. What'd you think about their discussion there?
I don't know what Andrea really feels.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like she's broadly sympathetic to Shane, but I'm starting to wonder if that was because she was afraid and still processing things with her sister, and now that she's kind of gotten stronger, ironically, she's become more aligned with Dale. I don't know if she took that stand with Dale because she felt bad for him. I don't know whether she just is a contrarian son of a gun and doesn't like people to tell her what to do or what to think. I mean, that would all make sense and be good motivation for why she's doing the things she's doing. But she didn't take too kindly to the suggestion.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. I think she agrees philosophically with Shane, but maybe not with his methods, you know? I don't know. And then at the end, when Rick is trying to tell her, I forget exactly what he's saying, but he says something about watch Shane and I need you to babysit him for me and I can't have him roaming around here while I'm gone. And Andrea says, maybe you should stop leaving. No shit.
Not a bad. Yeah.
Why leave this farm right now?
I think that he makes a mistake that a lot of leaders do. Which is they lead by doing rather than, you know, just by being a leader.
Yeah, there's a reason you don't send your commanders in on the front line of a battle.
Yeah, and I think that that's true to a certain extent. You have to be willing to get your hands dirty to lead a group of people. But I think he's kind of done that by shooting Sophia, and you know, people are looking to him to lead. So I think if as long as he makes good decisions, he's not going to have to worry about it.
The problem is that he's not making any good decisions.
Plus, I mean, he could send T-Dog and Daryl out. I mean, Daryl, for whatever reason, is all... He is Rick's... he's the Darth Vader to Rick's Palpatine.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so...
See that the last episode, we see that this episode.
He's his enforcer, almost.
Yeah.
So I don't know why, but that's the way it's going to... That's the way it is.
Yeah, I think we'll talk about that a little more later. So then... Excuse me. So then Carl tells Shane that it was all his fault that Dale died. Tries to give the gun back to him, and does, I guess. Immediately when Carl rolls up, Shane's like, what are you doing wandering around here by yourself?
Right. Where's your mother?
Yeah. Does anybody know where you are?
Yeah.
Well, no. Of fucking course not.
Do we need to put a bell on you, kid?
Yeah. So what do you think about Carl's stance here that he doesn't ever want to touch a gun again?
Understandable, and here's the thing. Usually you tell kids it's not their fault, but it kind of is his fault. And I wonder what you would tell like a kid that, for example, like you see in the paper when some kid, you know, gets his dad's gun and he's waving around showing off to his friends and ends up blasting one in the face and killing him.
Yeah.
What do you say to that kid? Because, like, yeah, you're a kid and, you know, whatever, but if you're, like, 8 or 9 or 10, you knew better and you killed a person. So, I mean, obviously saying, well, it's your fault and you need to deal with it, it's not the right thing. I wish if anyone's a child psychologist, I would like to know what you actually should tell a kid in this situation. I think that...
What about Rick told him?
Yeah, I actually like that. I mean, it's you... I feel like you can't go wrong treating kids as miniature adults. I mean, you don't tell them everything. You let them ask questions and stuff. But a kid that's in Carl's situation and his age, a little bit of plain dealing, straight talk truth. Like, look, we don't know either. The reality is everybody, you know, everybody's could die. And that's why we need you to stop doing kid stuff.
Yeah.
We need you to stop chucking rocks at zombies. And
of course, there's a fine line between... talking to him like an adult, letting him wander around the farm with guns.
No, I mean, that's the thing is you deal with him straight, but you still have to give him that guidance and supervision, which is where the group breaks down.
Which is also what I think Shane did a great job of last episode, where we saw him saying, look, it's not about getting in trouble. It's about saving your life.
You know? I mean, he's getting solid advice from the two men in his life, and they're saying all the right things, but they're... they're just not supervising the child.
The problem is, let's talk a little bit about Rick and his leadership abilities, because this episode, it seems that Shane is all over Rick for essentially not being a good father to Carl.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he says it multiple times. I feel like this is a huge failure on Rick's part, and it demonstrates the lack of leadership qualities that this guy has. Like, this guy, like you said, is willing to go out there and get his hands dirty, but that's all he wants to do. He's not sitting back and saying, okay, what can I do to make this group run more smoothly?
Well, he starts to in this episode. Like, I think he's making the wrong decision.
He does, but only after Shane punches him in the gut five times.
Right.
With saying, you're a terrible father. You don't give a shit what happens to
your
kid.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it giving orders to the group and getting people organized and having them do things.
But he doesn't. It starts off the episode by him making a terrible decision for the group. By taking Randall back out into the city, the same thing they did that ended horribly, and they decided not to do that. The whole group decided we're not going to do that.
Yeah, I also don't know why this plan is any better than the last one.
It's not. It's exactly the same, and Shane says it.
Well, but Rick's come back with, well, it's the right plan. We're just going to execute it properly this time, which I guess
is... It's the wrong plan. The group already decided it's the wrong plan.
Yeah. Although...
Last episode, man.
Yeah. I mean, I can't defend this. I don't know. This is Beta Rick.
Yeah, I'm more asking this. I wish you were, like, a producer of the show or a writer of the show, so I could ask you these questions.
You want to be like
answers.
Frost Nixon.
I do.
You're Frost and Glenn Mazeres Nixon. It's like, did you or did you not?
Yeah.
Fuck around and waste our time with... No. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
So
let's set that up.
Yeah. Glenn Mazeres, if you want to volunteer to be grilled on our show.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
If you want to have an intense, uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
We'll bring the beers.
Can you even imagine if we turned our audience loose on the questions? Because some of the feedback for this episode, very crazy. Because this is the first time because usually we love an episode and most people hate it.
Mm-hmm.
We hate an episode and most people love it. Let's take a step back. We didn't do this. We usually do.
Yeah.
What did you think of the episode?
I've seen it twice. First time through, I hated it.
Like grade letter.
F minus. Yeah. I fucking hated this episode the first time I saw it. Second time, it was a little less harsh. And I'd probably grade it like a C-.
Yeah, I'd say...
It's just barely not passing my standards.
I'd say about C- is fair because... And here's why. It would be lower except for... I feel like these people, the showrunners, painted themselves in the corner by choosing to make the farm the set piece for season two.
It's a very good point.
That is a one comic book arc.
Yeah.
And there's just not enough meat on them bones for the zombies to pick on. Now, I don't understand why, like, and I understand set locations and all this, but it seems like this could be a perfect standalone episode. You could have introduced Herschel, the drop, you know, the horror that he's got his family members in a barn, have that all break bad.
Have Sophia deal.
And then Herschel and his group deciding to throw in with Rick and follow them on to the next location, which I don't want to get to. I mean, we'll all find out about it next week, I think. So I kind of want to keep that. We'll talk about that in a spoiler. But I really feel it was a mistake since some of the other locations later on in the series, you could have multiple seasons at that one location.
Sure.
The farm is just a really bad choice to make. Mm-hmm. And the reason they've repeated so many plot points and nothing's happened and this whole theme, they've stretched out this Rick and Shane and this Shane and Lori.
Yeah, the triangle between Rick, Shane, and Lori is driving me insane.
And thank God it's over.
It's over.
It's over.
It's done.
This is what I... And
well,
by the way,
it might be over. Lori might keep this thing alive. Well, you know, Rick, Shane, always said, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Go fuck yourself.
No, I think it's over. And so what I was saying is the writers had to get here. They had to.
Yeah.
And there was some rough gravel road to get from point A to point B.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you know what? Fuck it. Straight line it. Throw in some zombies.
But they could have straight lined it from season 2.5, from the beginning of that. And they didn't. They drug it out for another half a season.
Yeah, but honestly, let's be honest.
It didn't drag much in season,
yes.
in the second half of this season.
Yes. I think this is the first episode that's been bad.
Yeah.
It's been objectively bad. And
there's
a lot of people. Yeah, well, no, there's a lot of people that really liked it. So I can't even say objectively bad. In my opinion, it's the first one that's been below average.
Okay.
For the season 2.5. And I felt like I judged it lighter and brought it to that C average because I kind of got what the writers were trying to do.
Yeah.
It's like, well, shit, we're painted here in this corner, so we're going to have to walk across the freshly painted floor and fuck it up and so we can get out of here and move on.
Yeah.
And if they do, it's great. And the stuff where you see, like, tease for next week looks like it's going to be balls to the wall.
Yeah.
Everything you want out of a zombie finale and set up beautifully for season 3 in such a way that I'm not done with the show.
No, and they'll suck me back in next episode, it looks like.
Now, halfway through season 3, if there's some of the same kind of weird, almost insulting to the viewer nonsense going on, there's going to be problems, and we'll have to decide what to do with that. But
yeah, I have some real...
Because I'm not going to cast on it. I mean, as much as people talk shit about us on iTunes from time to time, I'm not going to cast a show that I hate.
Yeah.
Because it's as much fun as it is to make fun of the show, if it was just that week in, week out, all the jokes would be gone, and I got better things to do with my time. So
definitely.
But I am excited for season 3, and I think this episode is a necessary evil.
Yeah. And the finale looks to be, hopefully, much, much better.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah, let's move on. Next scene is Randall trying to escape while Daryl is sealing off the barn. He's up top just hammering boards onto the...
Which turns out to be an important plot point.
Yeah, it does. Later on, that comes into play. Then the group moves into the house. Maggie tells Glenn to put his stuff in her room, but he says no. Then outside, Herschel gives Lori and Rick her room.
Yeah, everybody is being super nice to Lori. T-Dog's picking heavy shit up for her.
I'm not.
Herschel's giving her boy... Yeah.
I would not be.
Giving him the bedwah. So let's talk about a couple things here.
Sure.
What do you think about Glenn and Maggie?
Man, I just want to see them get together, and that's probably why they're not doing it.
How do you think Maggie reacted? Because I thought she was pretty inscrutable with her reaction.
I'm frankly surprised that she wasn't a little more pissed off about that.
I kind of think she got where he's coming from.
Yeah. I mean, he laid it out a couple episodes ago.
And this is like her father's house, and and Herschel just showed him like a big act of trust. Kind of acceptance of this. I don't think Glenn wants to push his luck.
Okay, you got 14 people in this house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Herschel's already saying, holy shit, this is going to be a tight squeeze to get everybody in here. He just gave you this watch and the approval to be with his daughter.
It's the keys to his daughter's vagina. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Why? Like, I'd be surprised if next episode Herschel doesn't suggest that he goes stay with Maggie. Because that seems the appropriate thing to do.
It would be hilarious if he did, knowing what's going to happen next episode.
I'm just like, why? Why is Glenn backpedaling again after he has permission from Herschel?
Man, that's who you look. Man, Glenn, is that a serious question? Glenn, knowing what this is the guy.
No, I get it. Glenn is having a very difficult time dealing with this world.
If this was some other dude, fine. But this is Glenn. He's our socially awkward, aspy, weird, awkward with girls guy. And he's trying to do what he thinks is the right thing by Herschel. Yeah. And that's what happens.
See, in my opinion, they played out the, I'm so awkward around girls thing half a season ago in the pharmacy. Like, done. The second time around in that pharmacy.
He's still the same dude. Do you think he's going to turn into a stud overnight?
No, I think he's regressing. He doesn't understand how to deal with this at all.
Well, Jim, not everyone's as much of a ladies man as you. I mean,
what can I say? It's tough, you know? It's a burden.
Mm-hmm.
Curse, not a blessing.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's Glenn's deal. Next scene, Shane's building a windmill. No, he's building onto the windmill, like a sniper platform, I guess. Lori approaches him to discuss the situation they're in, and she tells him she's sorry.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Lori.
Yes, so, what are all the things wrong here? Number one, she's interrupting genuinely useful work to talk about feelings.
After she has multiple times said, just let the guys do what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just stay in the house and make cucumbers.
Yep. So then she basically, after a season of telling Shane to piss off, and two episodes after putting it into her husband's mind that he needs to kill Shane, arguably, she goes to Shane and says, you know, maybe Rick just told me that you're fixed and you're handled and you don't have to worry about it, so I'm going to stir you up again. I feel like Lori's the ex-girlfriend that every two or three weeks sends you a flirty text or, you know, shows up just to make sure you haven't forgotten about her.
Yep. And Dale says the group is broken. There's the problem. Lori is the problem in this group. She is stirring shit.
Okay.
She drove Shane crazy. Am I wrong?
Shane didn't need much help.
Certainly, it's partially Shane's fault.
I think Shane broke bad the moment he turned a gun on Rick in the woods in season one.
Here's my thing. If Lori's not there, Shane has no problem with Rick. They can both be the father to Carl that he wants to be. It's Lori constantly saying, get away from me. Oh, I'm sorry. I want your help again. Now get away from me.
I can't. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and defend Lori, but... yeah, I mean, I argued today on Facebook and had to delete it because I forgot that it fucking violated my own spoiler admonitions. But yeah. I argued that, yes, Lori arguably killed Shane. I would say that it wouldn't even be arguably, except for that I think Shane and Rick were going to come to blows anyway. Like
just based on the leadership.
Not that Lori in this scene killed Shane.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think Shane was going to do this batshit crazy plan. Until she came up and said all that to her.
Yeah, I mean, we see what happens with him kind of freaking out in the barn with Randall, you know? And that also, was kind of driven by Lori.
This whole thing, like, she just walks up to him and, like, I'm going to emotionally throw up on you. Mm-hmm. Like, every time you've tried to... And Rick and Lori both. Every time Shane tries to have a honest conversation with them, just stop talking, stop talking, stop talking.
Yep.
And then Shane either punches him or rapes him. Isn't that interesting? Like, oh, you're not going to listen to me? Well, I'm going to try to rape you or punch you in the gut.
Yep.
Or throw a wrench at you. But they just try to shut him down.
Yeah. But then when they want him to lean on.
Yeah, they come and just puke all over him like, oh, God, I feel so much better. Thanks for letting me throw up on you, buddy.
Yeah.
And then like Lori, once she gets going, then just walks off.
This character to me is despicable. I do not like her in the least.
That's not an uncommon. I want to know if there is a Lori the supporter, not defender, because I think you can defend the shit that she's doing by saying she's been through a lot.
Yeah, zombie apocalypse.
If there's anyone
whatever.
Out there that likes Lori as written, I would like to hear your input.
Sure,
because I've not seen that anywhere. Not on AMC's Facebook site, not on Reddit, certainly not in our email or Twitter. I'm getting that, and it's interesting, Seppenwall and Dan Feinberg on their podcast today talked about unlikable characters.
Okay.
And, you know, contrasting characters like Lori and a few others with characters that you love to hate. And talked about The Wire. And
I'd say Shane is one of those.
Yes. And he said that that's the defining characteristics. If they're believable and there's something that you can connect to. There's nothing that I can connect to Lori.
Zero.
She is wishy-washy. She's hot and cold. She has this like false bravado, but then she's ultimately kind of weak. You know, she plays the sides, you know, multiple sides against each other. You're right. It is a very despicable character to this point. Yeah.
Whereas Shane is certainly despicable in a lot of ways, but you identify with him making the right call and doing the things that need to be done within this group, I feel.
Well, I won't even say it's a right call, but he is internally consistent.
It certainly, yeah.
He has in his head a vision of how he thinks the world is and what he needs to do to survive, and he goes forth on that plan.
Definitely. All right, let's move on.
Yep.
Rick and Daryl are planning how they're going to drop off Randall when Shane rolls up and tells Rick that he's a terrible father. essentially tells him what happened with Carl and the gun.
Rick and Daryl have a full-fledged bromance at this point.
Do they?
I think so. I mean, I thought they were going to kiss at the end before Shane walked up.
Well, he says something about that thing you did last night. I don't know what that's about, but...
Well, you shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
That's a come... I mean, there's like some 70s porn music about to start there.
Yeah, there is.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Daryl's a sexy man.
Sure. And super zen, too.
I think we should email, we should mail, we should find out where to send fan mail to Andrew Lincoln and mail him an iCrossbow Daryl t-shirt.
There you go. Yeah. Do it. Because he does. And for good reason. I mean, Daryl is like, these lines where he says, like, I don't see you and I trading haymakers on the side of the road. Like, that, no one's going to win that fight.
Like, and that's like, I thought that was funny that, I'm using a lot of girlfriend analogies here. Rick's like that dude that just dated a crazy ass girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And like, he's with this cool new girlfriend and he's like on walking on eggshells and like, so you're cool with us taking this. And Daryl's like, what, you think I want to beat you up over it? Come on, man.
That's the thing. He's like,
you're cool with me going to the bar with my friends, right?
what do I care?
You got to need my permission to go have fun. Go have fun with your friends. You know?
He's confusing to me sometimes because he's at times a very strong leader and at times a complete follower, you know, like when he's out doing his own thing and he's got like Andrea or Glenn with him, he's a very strong leader. He can step into that role. But when he's with Rick, he just kind of says, you're going to lead and I'm going to do whatever you want.
He feels to me like the superstar on a team. He's not the manager, but like, mm-hmm. like say you've got a team of programmers. He's the unquestioned best programmer that everybody goes to. And so when he is in on the, when he's doing his thing and like you're looking over shoulder, at no point would you think to be like, let me take the keyboard from you. Or you're just like there to like, well, okay, watch and learn. But he's not going to set initiatives and agendas and call meetings and things like that. Isn't what he wants to do. Daryl is just fucking proficient.
Yeah, but sometimes I feel like he should step in and say,
but he's
Rick,
not.
You're
That's
doing...
not who he is.
Yeah, and I get that. I just, it's hard
and he
for
also
me to
knows that,
part of that
if Rick fucks up too bad, he can just jet.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. He could leave at any moment.
Arguably be better off on his own, as he said many times.
Definitely.
You know, the other thing I'm wondering is, with his interrogation of Randall, he knows that this might be the best group he could fall in with because he would not fit in with that vigilante group that Randall is with. I mean, he couldn't stomach it.
No.
And he'd probably end up being murdered or
he'd just leave, I'm sure.
Or something like that. And then, and I think he really kind of doesn't want to be alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, certainly he missed his brother when he left, you know?
Yeah, I mean, getting free from Merle, seeing this thing with Shane and how bad that's going, and then this other group, I think it might have, you know, even more than Carol taking a shit, made him feel like, wow, I really need to, I'm lucky to have what I've got here.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. So then Shane comes up and he's talking to Rick about the gun and Carl. And he says that freeing the prisoner is more important to him than Carl.
That's a fact.
Which is, yes, an obvious fact, because Rick wasn't going to deal with it.
And
Rick was just going to leave.
Beta Rick was in full effect here. He's like, this is my call. I made this call. This call was mine. I'm riding Rick Grimes on this call.
But then he realizes, oh, yeah, Shane's right, as usual, and I need to go talk to my kid.
But this, didn't you think that was a little much? You know, any leader has to beat his chest and say, this is my call, is not that much of a leader.
Yeah, and it seems like they're hammering that point home over the last few episodes that Rick is not a good leader, and he's trying to become one, but he's just not doing it right.
You think they're setting us up for some kind of epic event that's going to... I thought that was... God damn it,
yes,
I thought that was
Sophia. An episode ago.
I mean, they've done this like... I keep on thinking, well, maybe they're setting us up for an epic event where there'll be this watershed moment and our opinion will change. But that's happened twice now.
Yeah.
And we're still back to Beta Rick. So
that's one of the big problems I have with these characters on the show is that none of these changes seem to stick.
Well, I have been reading more of the comic of late, and I think that maybe some of this is in much longer arcs. But Rick kind of loses his mind and comes back and forth and changes his opinion of...
Oh, comic spoilers.
No, not really. Just thematics. This is a thing with Rick. But that needs to happen over the course of, you know, one season and then another. And for good reasons, this whole back and forth, back and forth, back and forth between episodes is thematically it's true, but it's just not working mechanically for me.
Yeah, that's what's killing me. It just, everybody changes their mind all the time, and I can't ever tell what they're going to do next because of that.
Hmm. Anyway.
So Andrea's then trying to start the RV, but it won't start. So Glenn comes up, tries to fix it, and they get it working, and they talk about Dale.
Did this scene work for you?
Yeah, pretty good.
I didn't feel anything.
Well, I liked that. We know that Dale taught Carl. No,
Glenn.
Glenn.
Carl Jr. Glenn Jr.
Too many characters.
Dale Jr.
In the show.
Taught Glenn Jr.
Dale taught Glenn how to fix the RV.
Uh-huh.
At least the radiator hose. We know that much.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, taught him about corrosive contact points.
The difference
as well.
The difference between Phillips and flathead screwdrivers.
Uh huh. Yeah, we definitely saw that homage there.
But what's interesting is he taught Andrea to use the Phillips screwdriver, and he taught Glenn how to use the flathead. It's like he knew that they were,
they were two different
people, and they needed the two different screwdrivers in life.
Fuck you. what a horrible scene. Yeah, so I was shocked that it wasn't the radiator hose, honestly. But I don't know. It's hard for me to tell what Andrea's feeling, but Glenn is definitely affected by Dale's death.
The other thing I thought was it'd been hilarious if the RV ran like a top, like a machine, like a sewing machine.
And they're
like,
dead.
And T-Dog's like, yeah, man, he's been fake fixing this shit for the whole season. He just runs like a sewing machine.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Do you have anything else about that scene?
No, I think we've extracted all the juice from it.
We have. So then the group tries to fortify the house as Rick tells Carl that Dale's death wasn't his fault and that everyone's going to die eventually. Pretty bleak message to deliver to the kid, but it's kind of what he needed to hear. You know, not your fault. Things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen to a lot of people in this world.
Now, Carl, I want you to run off and tell Carol everything I said. That's how he ended it.
Yeah. And if you tell her there's no Santa Claus, too, that'd be good.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, I like that scene. I give Andrew Lincoln a lot of shit for his accent, but he's kind of one of the best things about the show.
Sure.
Accent aside, he's very effective in showing emotion, and like when he's using this, like, just Carl, I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that to my son a few times, like, just daddy's tired. You need to stop making so much noise
and take this gun.
Yeah. And take this gun and shoot someone with it. Or me. But yeah, I thought, he's very effective in the scenes, and I really like seeing him interact with Carl. Two of the best scenes in this whole season has been this one. And when, Rick gave the hat to Carl.
Yeah, yeah.
After he'd woke up from that coma. Also, you know, a lot of the stuff he does is really effective with Carl, like him running across the field with Carl in his body. I mean, that's stuff that this show doesn't emotionally touch me very often, but it's usually when it does, it's in context with him dealing with his son.
Yeah. Yeah, I can certainly get behind the idea that Andrew Lincoln is a good actor, no doubt. I wish that this wasn't set in the South, so...
His whispering stuff, it does seem to mitigate a lot of that problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, you know, your mom said that you were up here in this loft. I mean, that it's a lot better than his normal range.
Yeah. Yeah. The end of this where he's shouting, you did this.
Yes. Not me. Not me. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's move on. There's actually a commercial here, which was a little bit weird for Mad Men.
Oh, it's awesome. A lot of people offended by it.
I think it was weird. It's got the announcer from
The
voiceover guy from the Walking Dead promo over a Mad Men commercial that is very unlike Mad Men, in my opinion. The structure of that commercial did not feel like Mad Men to me. They were trying to make it all like happy-go-lucky and like these weird like, oh, watch these guys dance around and be stupid.
Should have been 30 seconds of John Hamm crying ugly.
What it should have been, to give an accurate depiction of that show, is 30 seconds of John Hamm sitting behind a desk drinking scotch.
Yeah.
Because anybody who is craving zombies eating brains is not going to like Mad Men.
Here's the thing. Mad Men fans can like The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I count myself in that category.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think pure Walking Dead fans are going to like Mad Men.
It's an entirely different show.
Because there are elements, and I guess that's one of the problems, and if you have problems with the cast, that's where I'm coming from. I'm looking for the Mad Men and the Breaking Bad in The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And I find some of it, just enough that where I was like, just God enough. Damn it, if they could turn that up a little bit, I would be so happy. Mm-hmm. You are not going to find any of The Walking Dead in Mad Men.
No, this is not a two-way street.
If you think you might be interested in it, Google the Kodak Carousel Mad Men.
Carousel.
If you Google that, they show that. That's, I think, the... That is what Mad Men's all about. That scene. You know what I'm talking about?
No, it's been a long time.
The pitch, the carousel pitch?
No, been a long time since I've seen that. Wow. Years, man. Wow. Years.
I don't trust you to do Mad Men podcast with me, frankly. I need to find a new co-host. This is turning into an audition, everyone. Send me your tapes.
Oh, shit.
Send me your tapes.
I don't know. It just didn't feel like Mad Men to me. It felt like they were trying... To distort Mad Men, but then people aren't going to like it.
Of course, Mad Men gets 3 million viewers. This thing pulls down 10. They want to snag those others.
They're misleading people is the problem.
True, yeah.
People will get in there and say, this is not what I signed up for. I'm out.
But if you like stuff aside from the zombies, if you're interested in character development and all that,
yeah.
Then,
if you like deep,
but the other thing is, boys,
dramas.
Start catching up now because you go into season 5 of Mad Men. It's game over. You are going to be lost ball in tall weeds.
Definitely. So let's move back into The Walking Dead. How about that?
Yes.
Shane goes to see Randall in the barn, but doesn't shoot him.
There's a whole flock of walkers following us back. I don't know. Did you not notice them? They were like 50 feet away.
No. They could have been right behind me. I didn't hear them. Instead of shooting Randall, he takes him into the woods and gets the location of his camp and then kills him.
Yep.
Not bad. Not a bad display from Shane here. If he wasn't psychotic, it might have been really good. He got the location of the camp, something that Daryl couldn't do throughout an entire beating. All Shane had to do was smack him once.
Yeah, Randall's not so bright. He's very resilient to torture, but not too bright.
Yeah.
What did you think about the editing and acting in this scene with Shane? Because he did a lot of almost Apocalypse Now... kind of madness in the tool shed.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, you're talking when he's in the shed there, in the barn. Shane's really lost it at this point. Like, Laurie's driven him over the edge. He's smacking himself in the head. He's acting like an animal almost.
Well, I almost feel like this guy, he knows this is a crazy plan, and it's probably not going to work, but he is now desperate to save Laurie and Carl? That he's going to do it anyway? He's going to do this crazy thing anyway?
I guess, yeah. I mean, now that she's apologized and he's kind of thinks she's back on board with him again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what those knowing looks have been about leading up to her apologizing. Of course it's going to mess with him.
So I thought that was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's one thing I want to miss with Shane is he's very interesting to watch.
Definitely. And he's... driving the action of this season. I don't know what they're gonna do now that he's not around.
I never thought of it that way, but you're right.
Dale's not there to stir shit in the group. Shane's not there to stir shit in the group. It's all gonna fall on Lori. And while she's a master at stirring shit, it's not gonna be interesting shit.
I don't know. They've got the characters are now, for better or worse, fairly well defined, except for T-Dog. Yeah. There is a lot of stuff that can happen when you bring in new characters in a new season to play
and
see everyone's reaction.
But that's the thing. They have to bring in new characters now.
Well, they're going to. They're going to.
Spoiler alert.
I think that's going
to
happen.
We're supposed to act like we don't know anything
about
what's going
to happen. No, I don't know
who
they're going to bring. I have no idea of the casting and that stuff. I just know that if... they're going to bring in new characters. It's not going to be these guys forever and ever. If nothing else, they've got this vigilante group that's only 5 miles away to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like seeing the interplay of these people is going to be interesting because I can't wait to see with like this blend of Alpha Beta Rick because I feel like that's Dale's death has, for better or worse, fused those two together.
Mm-hmm.
That he's got the human sensibilities of Dale. That's been you know, fused onto the Alpha Rick that's going to kill Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're the same. They're now that's going to keep that, you know, kind of tension. Shane and Dale live inside him now.
Yeah.
And it's kind of going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Definitely. So then T-Dog discovers that Randall is gone. Very short scene there.
Oh, hell no!
and then Shane...
Is there a person on the staff, I asked this on Facebook, is there a person on the staff that has a shred of racial or gender sensitivity?
I don't think so.
T-Dog has not really had difficult. A line in season 2.5 that I'm aware of that's longer than a line, if he's had any.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's had a single line.
He's kicked a zombie's head in. That's the only thing I can remember him doing. And yep. His first line, well, I guess second line, is "Aw, hell no."
not oh hell no. It's "Aw, hell nah." It's
right.
Like, really? Really, that's the line you're going to give him?
I mean, this is some bullshit would have probably also
yeah,
been
sure.
acceptable. I mean, why not, you know?
I don't get it. I don't get it. How can they be writing this stuff and not see what they're doing with gender issues and race issues here?
Yeah. And I did think, like, back in season 2.0, they had that interesting thing where T-Dog was sitting there talking to Dale.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, yeah, hey, you know, I'm with this group of crackers, sheriff, redneck,
mm-hmm.
who knows what, and a guy that's driving around with a fucking SS painted on his gas tank, and you know, I've got a, you know, do you think they're going to give me antibiotics or all that? I mean, interesting, legitimate, uncomfortable things to talk about, mm-hmm. and now we're doing this with them. But they're big fans of T-Dog, so.
Oh yeah, huge fans.
Whatever.
Uh-huh. So then Shane took Randall out in the woods. He convinced him he wants to join his group. Wait, did I talk about this? Yeah, I did.
Yes.
Shane heads back just as the group finds Randall missing, and he tells them that Randall attacked him and took his gun. And they all go after him.
Mm-hmm.
Or Daryl, Shane, Rick, and Glenn do.
And anyway. Daryl instantly is not buying the shit because...
Yeah.
And kudos to the writers for setting this up. They show him nailing the loose end. So he's like, mm-hmm. now how did you get free? And this guy jumped. This guy weighed 150 pounds. He jumped you how?
Yeah. And the lock was still on the front barn door. So
right. So there's
literally no way that guy could have gotten out.
Yeah. And Shane, when he's like through the rafters, Daryl knows there's no way.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really good. In fact, Daryl, he ain't afraid of Shane.
Mm-hmm.
So
Shane should have dug a tunnel underneath the door, back up his plan a little
Hogan's
better.
Hogan's Hero style?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Come up. I know nothing.
So then everyone waits for them at the farm as they continue to search. And Rick is just suspicious of Shane's story, which is kind of, we could talk about the whole woods thing
as one thing.
Yeah. Basically, they find, Daryl and Glenn find zombified Randall. They kill him.
And Daryl will punch a fucking zombie right in the face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Don't give a fuck.
Nope. No problem. Risk cuts, all sorts of horrible things happening.
Yeah.
Rick is, of course, suspicious again. And Daryl discovers that Randall died from the broken neck.
Mm-hmm. I thought there was some nice... There was some nice moments of writing between Rick and Shane. Actually, I thought that whole scene is fairly fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially when Rick's, you know, leading around, is like, does this wife feel right?
Mm-hmm.
And Shane, that has a nice dual meaning.
Yeah.
And then Rick starts unraveling the lies. But... So, what do you think about it? Because, like I said, I think the writing in the scene between Rick and Shane was fantastic.
I like the stuff. I like that Daryl is really back at his roots here, you know? He's tracking people mm-hmm. through the woods. He's using his skills that he picked up before all this happened.
Did you have a problem with the zombie with a broken neck walking around?
I did. It didn't seem like he had a broken neck when he was walking around.
Well, not only that, but if your spinal cord is severed...
Well, yeah, it's...
To me, that's about as logical as if a zombie's head was cut off
mm-hmm.
and his body's still moving around.
Yeah.
That to me, that they haven't shown that. So it's like...
I don't know the science behind breaking somebody's neck.
I don't
like,
either.
Do you have to sever the spinal cord? Is that what the purpose of breaking someone's neck is?
I thought that's the whole
deal. Is that
deal?
The only way to kill somebody by breaking their neck?
If your neck is just fractured, you're fine.
Well, I was... Yeah. I mean, Randall certainly didn't try to get up and run around after Shane snapped his neck, right?
Right.
Until he zombified.
Right. So breaking one's neck is fatal, especially, I guess, at a high level, because it even severs like connection to the brainstem, so your heart can't...
Yeah.
You know, your lungs can't breathe and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can't move your body at all.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think that's...
Because we know that it's a virus. It's not some supernatural thing that causes zombification.
Like, I think Shane could have slit his throat and have been just as cool, and I wouldn't have a question about it.
Yeah. Certainly. Well, I don't know. I mean, they're going to play us for fools again.
And the other thing is, or they could have snapped his neck and have been very cool to see him just lying on the ground, like, trying to snap but not able to move his body. That would have been also cool.
Yeah, it would have been. There's a lot of things that they could have done differently, and I'm surprised they went the way they did.
Out of the dozen riders they have in the rider's pen, nobody said, oh, broken neck, zombie? Mm.
Yeah. See, here's my opinion, and we'll talk about this a little more when we get to the final scene, but I think they do not give a shit if anything makes sense. They just want to do what they want to do on the show. Like, Carl coming out makes no sense.
Yeah.
Shane shooting Rick where he, like, trying to shoot Rick where he was going to shoot him makes no sense.
Yeah, so because they made it pretty clear that they went all the way through the woods and were looping the way back. So he was going to shoot Rick.
Let's talk about this scene.
He's going to shoot Rick with an eye shot within viewing distance of the house.
Yeah. Yeah. They show where they are, and they're very close to the house, within binocular distance, certainly. Everyone's going to hear that shot.
Uh-huh.
They're going to come out. They're going to see Rick's dead body there. What do you think? Rick questions it. What if you come back without me, what are you going to tell these guys?
Yeah, and if they had gone back in the direction of Randall's body, fine. Mm-hmm. That would have worked. But, just like in the highway scene where there was no zombies and all of a sudden there's zombies everywhere.
Yeah.
It feels like, well, this is what we need to happen, so...
So make it happen.
And we could have staged it. There's many different ways we could have staged it. They just didn't care.
And I can hear the writers in the writing room saying, but, and everybody just shutting them down.
Or they're like, nobody's going to notice how to care. And
that's shocking to me. If they're thinking that way, because I really feel like they are treating me like I'm an idiot on this show.
Yeah, they could have done exactly the same thing and changed two or three things and had it been much more believable.
Yeah, especially with this Carl thing. You're telling me that Carl is in a house with 10 people, himself included. Okay, so there are 8 people besides him and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
His mom, okay, she's a fucking idiot. She's not going to keep track of her kid. Fine.
No, that's not true. I mean, she is. Well, yes, that's exactly
that's
how...
That's a pattern that we've seen over and over again.
But this is
her.
A woman that's like, you know,
Glenn is staying downstairs.
Uh-huh.
They're boarding up the windows. Rick and Daryl and Shane are all out there looking for Randall, who's got a gun,
mm-hmm.
who is a violent person, mm-hmm. desperate to do anything, to slip his cuffs to get
Not
away.
Not to mention the walkers that are roaming around at night and you don't know
uh-huh,
about.
Uh-huh. And there are 8 people in this house.
10,
three,
right?
Well, 8 other people besides him and his mom.
Yes, okay.
8 people. Glenn's downstairs. T-Dog is downstairs. Herschel's on the fucking couch.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me that this kid gets out of that house?
Like, even if Lori wasn't
I'm not
paying
a fucking
attention.
Idiot. That kid is going nowhere.
Right.
Even if it's not Lori that tells him. It's going to be Andrea. It's going to be Carol.
Well, let me tell
it's going to be
something.
Somebody.
I've got a party.
Mm-hmm.
8 of our best friends are up here, and for some reason, I'm upstairs taking a shit,
uh-huh.
and Jack just, my son, comes downstairs and like and opens up the front door and walks out. No one's going to be like, whoa, buddy, where are you going?
Yeah.
And we're not in the fucking zombie apocalypse with a murderer running around in the woods outside.
Yep. I'm not a fucking idiot. Don't treat me like one. That was entirely so that he could get out there and shoot Shane.
Yeah. You sound like Jules the there. Do I look like an idiot, Glenn?
Yeah.
Bazera, do I look like an idiot? What does Jim Jones look like?
Do I look like an idiot?
Why'd you try to treat him like one?
It's ridiculous, man. And that's what is so, like, after seeing this the first time, this is one of the main reasons I hated it so much, is because I'm tired of them just constantly going over the same territory and treating me like I'm an idiot.
And again, they...
It's offensive to me.
And it's weird because we've got a lot of people that really love this episode, and...
There's a lot of good stuff in this episode, say that.
Again, the scene between Rick and Shane, everything I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about
their dialogue in it. Like, they...
And the
they
emotion.
They have a very good
acted,
chemistry.
They
yes.
acted the shit out of that scene.
Mm-hmm. And John Bernthal, I gotta say... really good actor. When he's in his alpha mode, I am genuinely intimidated by this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he could do anything at that point.
Now, let's talk about the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rick stabs Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Shane dies, and we have the, you did this! Not mine! I can't do an angry Rick.
No, it's... It can only be done by angry Rick.
He kind of has a little break in his voice. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit Rocky Balboa calling for Adrian.
Yeah. He has Norman Reedus punch him in the windpipe directly before that scene.
So then we have this really weird cut of like zombies gnashing on stuff.
Yeah.
Which, if you recall the catch-up cast we did over the winter, we talked about this when Jim got... Not Jim Jones, but Jim on The Walking Dead got sure. turned into a zombie.
Yeah, remember him?
When he was starting to turn, you kept on getting these like rapid cuts of the scenes of zombies. And mm-hmm. I'm like, is that what's going on in his head when he's turning? And we're like, well, no, maybe
we're
he's
like,
just having...
Oh, it's the flashbacks to the guys who busted into the camp.
But apparently in this show's language,
mm-hmm.
the scenes of the zombies are... with the violent cuts and the loud music is the signifying that someone's turning into a zombie.
Yeah.
What do you think about that convention?
I'm cool with it. I kind of like it.
Now that you actually see it?
Yeah, now that I understand that is, in fact, what they're doing. That, to me, is like the zombies formatting their brain. Like, formatting the Z drive in their brain, you know?
Like it. So, he gets up, and Carl confronts Rick, mm-hmm. and, you know, Rick starts pleading for his life, and Carl shoots Shane.
Yeah.
If you're going to go through the trouble of, as you say, insulting our intelligence to where Carl's going to follow them out here, why not have it like in the comic book where Carl gets a drop on Shane and shoots him?
Yeah. And he – I don't know. I felt like this was kind of effective the second time I saw it because he has just murdered Shane, and Carl sees this. I'm not sure Carl sees that, actually.
I don't think
he does, and I think it's because of a preview for next episode, but I'm not gonna go there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he murders Shane, a guy who Carl genuinely looks up to, mm-hmm. and he's, for all intents and purposes, had a better relationship with Shane than his father.
That's questionable.
But it's certainly... he definitely has a connection to this guy.
Sure, okay.
And his father has just murdered him. He sees him dead. I'm going to go ahead and say that he does see him kill him. I kind of feel like the kid is confused, and there's a genuine danger here that he's going to shoot his dad.
Like, uh-huh, yeah.
Until Shane stands up and starts lumbering toward him.
Uh-huh.
So I felt it was effective. I was genuinely tense during that scene, thinking, "Oh man, this
I'm
could
of
be
the opinion
Rick.
That the comic book the comic book way where Shane gets shot by Carl was mm-hmm. way more effective." Now the I've read a note from Kirkman and Mazzara where they said, "Well, we've had problems with Rick being indecisive, so we changed it up just to make him have that moment where he's seizing the." The leadership role, and I'm like,
no,
that's your
it.
Fault. If you are in a position where mm-hmm. you had to do a less impactful scene, so you think Carl shooting Shane would have been less effective than Rick
No. I think it's different. I think they both work.
And to me, it felt like having Carl shoot the zombie Shane was sort of a.
It didn't mean much for that kid. It meant...
No, I don't know. I just think it felt like a weak homage to the comic. Or like a nod, a wink to the fans. And I judging by most of the fan reaction I saw, they didn't dig it. Like, if you're a comic fan...
Yeah, and I feel that. Coming from Carl's perspective, you've got to think, shooting a live human being who you look up to is more makes more of an impression on you than shooting a zombified guy who's trying to kill your dad.
Right, and it sets up the fact that Carl and Rick have each other's back.
Mm-hmm.
They're like ride or die for each other.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I coming from that perspective, yeah, I can see the comic book version being more effective. And apparently this shot is the shot heard around the world. The zombies wake up. yeah, a million and a half zombies. Apparently they didn't hear the gunshot that Shane fired from the exact same location, but Carl's gunshot, yeah, they hear that, so they're up and about.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Andrea shot a fucking rifle. How long ago? They've been doing goddamn gun shoot target practice on the farm.
Now, I don't have a problem with that, because I think that this is the chickens coming home to roost. That these zombies have been around and kind of maybe even walking and homing in on all the bullshit crazy stuff that's been going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And as like Herschel said, well, now that the swamp's drying up and, you know, we've had the problem with the fence being breached, it's like now all this stuff is like,
it's a good point about the swamp.
Yeah. And again, when I used to do the survival, when I had more time in my life and I used to do the survival reviews, I kind of wept each week that these people weren't building fortifications and things like that. And now that all this kind of wasted time is coming home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. We'll see what happens with that next week. Mm-hmm. A lot of zombies on the prowl now. That's it for the episode.
Yep.
I'm going to do zombie kill of the week. I got to give that to Carl.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Shoots right past his dad. Kills Shane. Idiot survivor of the week goes to Lori. Congratulations, Lori. Once again, you get idiot survivor of the week.
She might get lifetime achievement award for that.
Maybe so.
Uh-huh.
Maybe so.
I wonder what she would say. I wonder what these people would say if you got them on the air and like asked, you know, if you gave him kind of hardball questions, like, so when you see the script for Lori, what do you think as a woman? How do you feel about, you know, being used as a mouthpiece to promote bad information about reproductive care? I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm a bastard.
I don't know. The actors, I feel bad for in a lot of ways because they're in a tough place. You know, you can't.
But the other thing is, Walking Dead is one of the top 10 TV shows on currently.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could be in, I'm trying to think, 2 and a Half Men. Okay.
Sure.
Hell, John Barenthal had a guest starring appearance like 2 years ago on How I Met Your Mother.
Oh. Hmm.
This is way better than that. And they're getting to do way more interesting things in a much higher profile.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm being a little hard on them for.
I feel like their answer would probably be something along the lines of, the issues need to be brought up and addressed, and I'm the one who's – I'm the conduit through which that issue is addressed.
But, you know, it's interesting because when we talked to Taylor Elmore on the Justified interview we did, and he talks about how involved Tim Oliphant is with his character and, like, just I want this to be just right. Do you think that the actors have that kind of input with the current crew of The Walking Dead, and if so, do they just not give a shit and not listen?
Because that is a lot of speculation for me to do. I don't know anything that goes on with the writing or the production
Of
this thing.
That's something actors would do. It's like, well, why
you
am
would
I
want
saying
to, certainly,
this?
But are they given the opportunity?
And the other thing, it's hard to tell on a shoot, like how this isn't going to be stitched together. Also,
Timothy Oliphant's a big star. These guys were basically nobody.
Someone asked me at the beginning, like, why Shane's face was as fucked up as it was, because it seemed like it was a slight continuity error that it was last week more healed than it was this week. And it's interesting because I said last week that I thought the sequence of these things were slightly out of order. That I thought that it would make more sense if they had the trial of Randall, try and execute him and fail, and then have the episode where they go to the Department of Public Works and try to abandon him and have that shit go bad, and then go into this week's episode where they deal with the aftermath of that. And I wonder if that's what the original shooting order was, and then for some reason they decide to reorder it and do a couple of reshoots. Because in my opinion, a couple of feedback I got, Shane's face looked there. People said, what the hell happened to Shane's face at the beginning of this episode? Because he had this big red welt on it, which I don't think was there last week, or it looked like it was more healed.
Yeah, I don't remember noticing it as much last week. I certainly noticed it this week, though.
Anyway, so you have anything else to talk about?
No, I don't.
Should we go to feedback?
Yeah.
And it's all over the map.
I bet it is.
So let's talk about it. Michael M. says, this episode was a zero for me. I think it pretty much insulted viewer intelligence left and right.
Yep, yep.
It had a good final 30 seconds, but that's about it. I'm afraid the show is starting to jump the shark for me, and it's too bad. I hope there's a twist I'm not expecting to bring me back in, but I'm not sure what it could be. Rick is a terrible leader, indecisive, with bad instincts. I don't know where they could go, where we could count on him to lead them. It won't be Daryl or Glenn and T-Dog. Don't make me laugh. Carl's actually the best candidate at this point. They for damn sure can't contain him or stop him. I'm not sure how they've managed to let that happen. Even the preview for the finale emphasizes Rick's bumbling incompetence. Sheesh. Huh.
Yeah, I'm curious, very good points.
I'm curious to see the promo in the spoiler section when we review it to see if, because I don't remember that. But yeah, hard to argue with that. That's pretty much our take. So let's move on to the next.
Yep.
Mike from NC says, hey guys, love the podcast. It's great. Shane's finally dead, but I'm a little sadder than I predicted, but I knew it was destined to be a lot of new changes, but ready to get off the farm and into the location that we will not mention because it's a spoiler. Now Rick can grow and we can see what Daryl can really do as his new right-hand man. He thinks Merle is going to be the new handless man instead of Rick, and hopefully show up with the character who we are not going to mention because it's a spoiler and causes stress between the groups. They also seem like they are set up Andrew to be the new voice of humanity since Dale died. Also, they played the cold open music before the credits this time. Oh. I think that that's a point that I kind of touched on, that yes, Andrea seems to have had a personality reboot because of the death of Dale.
Yeah.
Which... Yeah. That is a believable reason for you to change, have a change of heart. And especially since they hinted, again, that's why last season, last episode was pretty effective. They gave this hint that she was, in the comics, I think they mentioned she's a law clerk. They ran her that, upgraded her to a full-blown civil rights attorney. Mm. You rebooted her back to her previous personality inclination. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, a bit.
So I dig that. Wasted Kitten writes in, what up, guys? Just want to comment on this. Anyone feel like Lori was stabbing Rick in the back with that talk with Shane? Like, it seemed like she was trying to pit them together to see who the winner would be. I thought that was an absolute bitch move on her part. Also, I noticed Rick's accent slipping in and out. Agree with all those things. And I noticed, like, when he starts whispering or gets that little throaty rasp, that's when he like is not feeling the accent and he just wants to pretty much give a generic Americanized British accent and get away with it.
I feel like he's got a couple meters in his head. One is accent and one is acting, like emoting.
Yeah.
And that you can't have both at full throttle. One suffers because of the other.
David W. says, OMG, I haven't been this pissed at a show since that damn Fern Gully magical non-answer Lost finale. The bad. Lori's the dumbest human being alive ever, telling Shane she didn't know whose kid it was, a week or two after all but telling Rick he should kill him, and a day or two after they'd obviously had a fight over the other. Jesus H. Christ. Looks like almost certainly what Jenner told Rick will be that everyone is infected already now. Yeah. Which is lame. Maybe in a fit of good writer, some of the other characters will be super pissed he hid this from them, but I doubt it. Good point. We haven't talked about that.
Hmm.
Rick has, I think, portrayed kind of surprise at the growing revelation that, you know, maybe people don't have to be infected by a zombie to die and raise as one.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what Jenner told him, it's going to... Well, I mean, obviously, they can just roll over it and have us accept it,
oh,
right?
Oh, they will.
You think that's what's going
to
happen?
Guaranteed. Either that or Rick's going to continue to play dumb and Daryl's going to spot it. Say, uh-uh.
Hmm.
I don't believe you.
You knew about this.
Yeah.
How would they... I mean, at this point, why would he even come clean? The secret's out, so why would he go, oh, yeah, I kind of knew about this the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I see him mentioning it is if he gets caught not acting confused enough. Like, I don't get it. Bullshit.
Pussing out of Carl actually shooting Shane to save his dad, at least the way it was cut, it looked like Carl even raised his gun at his dad before zombie Shane is moving. And yes, it was cut that way.
And which, I think for a reason.
So you think that Carl originally was pointing the gun at his old man?
I think so, yeah.
Hmm.
That's why I said I thought he saw him kill him.
I don't like that, but... I have a hard time saying why or articulating a case against it.
Yeah.
And will somebody please fucking keep an eye on a 12-year-old kid in a zombie apocalypse with an armed hostile is wandering about? Although Lori had probably self-imposed kitchen duties. Yeah, them cucumbers aren't going to slice themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Those dishes aren't going to do themselves. Continuing with David W.'s thoughts, Rick realized what Shane was doing, but still went along with it and even holstered his gun for Shane to shoot him. Yeah, I mean, again, it was a great written show or a great written scene, and that was Rick's like final chance. And he was risking his life. Which this doesn't make sense, man. If you really think that Shane's a threat,
yeah,
and that he's going to do this to your wife and child, why?
I'm telling you, man, he's a terrible, terrible leader.
I don't know.
Shane points it out in that scene. He's a horrible leader.
Obviously, he'll holster the gun just so he could completely lull Shane into thinking he's got the upper hand so he could sneak up and knife him. Mm-hmm. Because let me play devil's advocate here for a minute. Rick has seen Shane shoot.
Sure.
Shane was the weapons instructor.
He's not going to miss.
In the county, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably can outdraw and outshoot Rick, and Rick's mm-hmm. no slouch himself.
Sure.
So maybe Rick thought his only hope was to get Shane confused, sneak up, and knife him, because if he just tried to pull the gun, he was going to get Rayland.
Yeah. And Shane was purposefully staying behind Rick as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was staying a good distance behind him on their journey back.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the rate at which people turn into zombies is increasing at an astounding rate. We went from Andrea's sister taking mm-hmm. almost a day to Shane taking about a minute. Although maybe if you die by, oh wait, I'm not going to think about something that will never be explained. And then he says, "What?" Which I don't get that. Is that a Breaking Bad reference?
No, it's a Lost reference.
Oh, right. Right. I forget. I blocked that from my memory.
Yeah.
The late Shane actually expresses how dumb Lori is to Rick. Yeah. You're what do you say? Your woman's broken and your son's weak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whew. Glenn getting his zombie killing mojo back hopefully built his confidence up enough to get us another side tit scene. 13 year olds of the world rejoice. Hey man, 35 years here. I would not mind seeing more of that.
She is a fine looking lady.
The spoiler guy knows his shit. Apparently, yes, he does. He has basically called 2.5 this whole from the beginning of 2.5.
I think it's
our masked spoiler man, and a lot of. I tell you, a lot of, like, it's become fairly common knowledge for the heavy-duty spoilers to break the day or two after the this week's episode is released. Mm-hmm. But this, our source had it, this scene.
Yeah,
from
a screenshot.
Yeah, from before the first episode of the season 2.5.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he did the same thing with Sophia, so he's mm-hmm. got my complete full faith and credit at this point.
Yep.
Next week's looks badass. Going to be hard to fit in time for Carl to wander around and long kitchen rants with that many zombies closing in, but I could be proven wrong. Brian KW from Long Island. Another great episode. So we have a voice of dissent here.
Okay.
A few things. I think they stole the opening sequence from Office Space, referring to the scene where they destroy the printer.
Yeah.
I actually, when we were watching that, I said, I want to make a YouTube clip of that where we cut the die, motherfucker music to the background of it. Shane got his due, but it was a strange scene. You would have thought that they were walking around for hours out in the middle of nowhere. Turns out they're right by the farm. Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, they were on their way back, but it's a bad place to do that.
Yes. If T-Bone doesn't get any real
line... T-Bone.
Doesn't get any real lines soon. I'm calling the NCAA and Al Sharpton. Where the hell is Al and Jesse on this one?
They're probably not watching The Walking Dead.
They should be, because there is some bullshit happening.
I agree.
The group is hopeless without Dale. They should just form a suicide pact and end the show. Zombie Kill of the Week should be Carl's. It wasn't very graphic, but it was a big step. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
Complete agreement with you on there, Jim.
Sweet.
Brian H., the plain Nazi. Do you remember him?
Plain Nazi.
Yeah, the one that, the guy that lost his shit on me when I said there was two 727s collided and he, like, set me straight.
Yeah, from our Breaking Bad podcast. Yeah.
Good to see you again, Brian. Hey, what's up, guys? Overall, I really liked this episode. The cinematography was unbelievable, especially the floating head shot of Shane, where he was staring at Randall in the shed, and the wide establishing shot when Rick and Shane had their final showdown under the moonlight.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a good scene.
That was a really good shot.
I actually put the notes that the cinematography on that was great, and obviously the on-location shooting paid off. And that was a no-shit night scene. Like, I feel like that was a... I would like. That's another thing when I'm grilling Glenn Mazera is like, did you shoot that underneath a real full moon?
Yeah.
Because that's hard to fake, that kind of moonlight. Where was I? He goes, it was possibly my favorite shot of the entire series, although not as iconic as some shots, but it was so picturesque, I don't think I'll ever forget it. I've been waiting for that scene to happen since you guys read those spoilers way back when. It was exactly how I imagined it. The zombie apocalypse took a major new twist now that we know everyone who dies in this world reanimates. It's going to make for a much more interesting interaction between our survivors and as they inevitably meet up with our Randall's group or of other survivors. Or other survivors. Oh, and holy shit, that's a fuckload of walkers swarming the farm. It looks like Lori's going to bitch face on Rick in the season finale. Boy, is she a horrible character. Just glad I have Winona and Ava on Justified to remind me of that all television doesn't think women are this stupid.
No shit.
By the way, this guy opened up with, overall, I really like this episode.
Yeah, and then proceeds to rip it a new asshole.
I also love that Herschel has donned his big boy pants and is not fucking around anymore. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite scenes from the comic is when Herschel freaks out on Rick and threatens to kill him. Then we see Carl in one panel raising his gun to take a drop on Herschel. We all know this, he doesn't, but it was still a high-tension moment.
Especially, yeah, because of what happened with Shane.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I can't wait for next week. And one more thing, Aaron, sorry about Peyton. Good luck with luck. All right. This keeps coming up. I will talk about sports. Here's how I feel about Peyton Manning.
I'll be back.
I feel like the dude whose girlfriend broke up with him, and I can't help but stalk her on Facebook because, goddamn, like, I keep on hearing about all the new teams he's going to and all the opportunities he's have, and all I'm left with this gawky-looking... you know, 22-year-old who hell might pull an Eli on us and refuse to be traded since we basically fire-sold every quality team member that we have on this goddamn team. So I am like Glenn 3 episodes ago. I am a man that's progressively shitting his pants as I'm watching the ESPN ticker feed and thinking that it's going to be a few... It's been, you know, a nice decade run... And it's coming to a close, and I'm sad about it. So I thank you for your sensitivity there, Brian, and we'll now return you to your regularly scheduled discussion of Walking Dead. Eddie says, Lori should be fed to the walkers or at least given them to use as toothpicks because she is worse for the group than the walkers would be. After the group gets slapped in the face with Dale's death, they seem to finally start getting their shit together. Shane was, of course, still being the asshole bully that he was all through high school, but he seemed to be spanked into place by Rick. That is, until Lori stirs him up by telling him how wonderful he is and how great the sex was, and what in the way to say
it. Yeah, I don't think she said that.
Welcome back, Jim, by the way.
No problem.
Shane is just enough of an asshole to know, quote-unquote, know that she really wants him no matter what she says around Rick. And why the hell can't she keep track of her kid? Either Carl's a mutant who can walk through walls or Lori's a shitty mother. There's no other explanation for a child out in the middle of the field in the dark at the edge of a zombie-filled woods.
Yep.
Yeah, I speculated that Frodo gave him the one ring. Mm-hmm. Some people on Reddit were wondering if Harry Potter had loaned him the Cloak of Invisibility. Mm-hmm. Yeah, having the powers of Kitty Pryde is another reasonable explanation for what we're seeing here.
Yep.
The explanation for Shane and Randall turning into a walker after they're killed is simple. Okay, so this is interesting.
All right.
And one of the reasons I read this email. He's going to try to play contrarian because we're all saying everyone's infected. The well walker that broke in half and dumped its guts back into the well has contaminated the entire water table. Now all the wells on the property are contaminated and the group has been drinking the water as well as giving it to Randall, slowly ingesting the pathogen that created the walkers. This easily explains how they could be carrying a small amount of the pathogen but not turning into walkers until their body's immune system ceased functioning after death. Just a thought. What do you think?
I like it.
I have another fuel for the fire.
Okay.
We saw Shane unsafely handle a zombie-contaminated blade just 2 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Randall, too, went a little overboard in killing that one zombie got blood all over him. Mm-hmm. Arguably, these people have been contaminated by direct contact with zombie fluids.
Yeah. So yeah, if it's not enough,
yeah,
to actually like give it full hold over him.
Now, I don't buy this theory, Eddie. I think it's a solid one. I don't think that's what's going to happen just because of what's, you know, I feel like they're definitely pushing us down this path of everyone's affected, but mm-hmm. That is still enough to, you know, keep us a little bit in doubt. Great job on the cast, guys. I listened to this in Justified Cast, which is the best show on TV, in my opinion.
It's really good.
It's really good.
This really good.
Seeing season 2 and 3 reminds me a lot of season 3 and 4 of Breaking Bad, where mm-hmm. it went from being a great show to like all time top yeah. 5 pantheon level.
Definitely.
He also praises the sound of our cast as being very good. And as a touring front of house sound engineer, I know, keep up the good work.
Oh, well, thank you.
We feel very good about that because yeah. we've spent a lot of time and know-how trying to get this right. So mm-hmm. if you listen to any of our very early Blue Yonder casts, not always been the case.
No, pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Our bald move poet laureate, Tom G, writes us and says, "Guys, pull up a chair, boys and girls, and let Uncle Tom tell you how TV used to be. This is a formula that was applied to crime drama from 2.7 million times in, or about 2.7 million times in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. First, the quote-unquote bad guy got the drop on the quote-unquote good guy and holds him at gunpoint. Then the double finger quote good guy engaged the double finger quote bad guy in a long-winded conversation, and then mm-hmm. the good guy prevailed by pouncing at the exact right moment to disarm the bad guy. Hmm. Usually this involved the good guy lunging at or karate chopping the wrist of the bad guy. On the highest quality dramas, there would inevitably be a catchphrase, book 'em, who loves you, baby, etc. Boom, week in, week out, Mannix, Cannon, yep. Barnaby Jones, and Kojak would get the bad guys. But it's never been done in a zombie apocalypse until now. There were 700,000 ways this could have been better. Mm-hmm. Rick shoots Shane cold-blooded. Stand over him and say, you're right, Shane. It is a new world. Shane draws on Rick from behind. Crack of stick. Both look stage left to see a deer. Rick sees Shane, draws and kills him. Carl kills Shane comic book style as Shane draws down on Rick. Speaking of Carl, how the hell did he get out of that house? Overall, solid, just a little formulaic at the end for me. Solid
yeah,
points.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Solid points there, Tom. Frackin' Toaster, who has decided to come out from underneath the pseudonym as Brian from Boston.
Oh.
Decided he gave the BSG reference mm-hmm. enough rep. That was an awkward transition. I apologize. Good episode. Rick's indecision on the Randall matter makes Lori sympathize with Shane, and she picks the worst possible time to show Shane a little humanity. Yes.
Yes, she does.
And I don't... I want to talk about this here for a minute.
Okay.
Her speech to him at the windmill plays directly into his delusion that he owns her and Carl, which leads him to hatch his plan, and what a half-assed plan it was. Daryl called bullshit right away. Rick didn't seem to believe a word of it either, and aside from that, the opening sequence and a juxtaposition of zombie ass-whooping and Dale's funeral, it was honestly moving. But really, I'm calling the writers out. Give T-Dog something to do or kill him. You're taking the token black guy thing way too far.
No kidding. Rick sends him back to the house this episode.
That's like, uncomfortable. Yeah, I'm not even going to go down there.
I'm not going any farther than that, but it's... Wow, that's fucked.
I understand a lot of why Lori couldn't do this, but you got to think that if she handled... Her and Rick both had handled Shane just a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Like, you know...
Yeah, that's the problem I have with Rick's leadership. He doesn't know how to handle Shane, his kid, his wife, nothing.
But yeah, I mean... This whole, I know she thought that Shane lied to her about Rick, which doesn't make sense if you know somebody. Mm-hmm.
And I think she outs herself here as not actually believing that he did what he needed to do. She says as much at the beginning.
If she'd have done this the whole time, I think Shane could have like accepted all this.
Mm-hmm.
But what she did, as we've talked about before, ad nauseum at this point, it was too little too late on the humanity thing. If she'd done that last season and earlier in this season, maybe. But as it was, it just pushed him over the edge. Sandy W.
He should have told her to tell it to the frogs.
Walking Dead has driven me crazy this season, but your podcast always makes me appreciate it a bit more. I'll finish the season at least. I think that everybody shitting on episode, me and Jim included, will be happy with where we end up in season two, and I predict that there will be even a bigger season premiere for season three. Mm-hmm. And now, halfway through season three, and the same shit's going on, then we'll have some talking to do. But I still have hope that they're going to pull this out. Malika B. says, this episode was awesome. I have to admit, for a minute during the showdown, I thought Beta Rick was going to get himself killed, but damn, the Alpha was in kill mode. Lure and strike. I could not help but notice how fast Shane Zombie rose compared to Amy Zombie, who took hours. Does being good or bad affect the time it takes to rise? hell, I don't think the writers know.
Maybe.
It's whatever is dramatically appropriate.
Yeah.
I did chuckle a little in the second viewing because it reminded me of the zombie comedy Fido, where in his dying breath, one guy said, I want a head casket. So you're the zombie historian. Do you know what the hell she's talking about?
I haven't seen this. This is the one with Trinity from The Matrix. It's got, what's her name?
Whoa! Kate Ann Moss?
Carrie Ann Moss.
Carrie
Ann
Moss.
Yeah, yeah.
You haven't seen a zombie film?
I have not seen this one. It looked weird to me because it's like this suburban mom with like a zombie as a pet. It's very weird.
See, that would make even more hot for it.
I'm more a traditional zombie movie kind of guy.
Really?
Yeah. I like blood and gore and all that sort of good stuff.
So you're against, like...
I just haven't gotten around to watching this one.
You don't believe in gay zombie marriage?
Yeah. I'm a zombie Republican.
A conservative. Social conservative. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's keep it clean now, Jim. Okay, so, God, we're going to take some heat for that one.
of course.
Let's go to the outro, or do you have anything else to get us in trouble with?
No, go ahead and do the outro.
If you want to keep up with everything that we're doing at Bald Move, which is burgeoning, it's including The Walking Dead, we've got Breaking Good, we've got the classic Mad Men coming up, we've got Game of Thrones, we've got Justified ongoing, the best show on television right now, Justified. Go to baldmove.com. You can email us at watchingdead@baldmove.com if you'd like us to read your thoughts on the air. Facebook.com/baldmove is where you find me on Twitter, and Twitter @baldmove is where you find Jim on the internet. I got to thank you guys so much for continuing to support us on iTunes. We've got so many reviews and so many positive things, and it makes me feel good to see...
We're approaching one of the most reviewed Walking Dead podcast on iTunes.
Yeah.
I think they're in the 160s. We're in the 140s.
And it's directly, you know, there are so many Walking Dead casts. I think this is the most crowded casting show that we're doing as far as competition.
Certainly.
And we've come from nowhere 6 months ago to we're at the top of the results. And it's all because you people have taken some time out of your lives to click some freaking stars and put a couple words in there. And we thank you so much because
absolutely,
it's fun for us to see the cash grow and to get more feedback and, to build that community. If you'd like to help contribute to help pay for our bandwidth and keep the lights on at the Bald Move headquarters, you can do that again. We're not asking for any money. If you're buying stuff on Amazon anyway, use the amazon.baldmove.com link. That takes you right to Amazon with our affiliate tag intact. You can also, if you can't remember, just go to baldmove.com and click our banner at the top. You get the same prices as Amazon. You get the same shipping. All that stuff is the same great stuff, except for we get...
But you also get our love.
You also send a little bit of love to us, and we appreciate that for the people that do that. It helps us cover the cost, and we appreciate that. So, that's all I got. We got one last mega spoiler.
You didn't
want to
talk about Facebook
season.
Or Twitter or any of that stuff?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought you went right into iTunes.
No, I didn't. Did you? Were you hiding from the sports talk again?
I was. Like, no, okay. I was preparing to take us out.
All right. Preparation complete, initiate, takeout sequence.
That is it for this week. Next week's episode is going to be called Beside the Dying Fire. Until then, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. See you next week.
No, see you in the spoilers.
See you in the spoilers. The exclusive, sexy, awesome spoiler section where Carl sneaks in every week.
we're back. Go ahead and roll the promo for next week.
On the season finale of AMC's The Walking Dead.
Oh, my God. I'm going to take them all on.
Oh,
this is my farm. I'll die here. My hands are clean. I didn't ask for this.
A special look at a scene from next week.
His hands are clean.
Oh, what a fucking shock. Carl's gone again. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I like how she just she notices that Carl's missing and the length of time it took him to walk all the way across that field, shoot a guy, and
she suddenly freaked out by it. She never gives a shit.
I feel like she heard the gunshot and like looked up from her cucumber pile and like, oh my God, where's my kid?
Yeah. Her mountain of cucumber slices.
Yeah.
All right, so let's roll through this one again real quick.
All right.
We got a missing Carl up front.
Mm-hmm.
We got an army of zombies.
Hightailing it towards
this
the
moment that I've been waiting for to get them off the fucking farm.
Yes.
Like,
we wondered how they're going to do it, and this is how. We see Herschel declaring war on zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the zombies are just attacking a barn. And
Must be in that barn. I wonder if Carl and Rick don't run to that barn.
Oh, to take shelter?
Yeah.
What do you think about Daryl there sniping zombies from his fucking motorcycle?
Fucking awesome.
That's like
man.
Something out of Grand Theft Auto, man.
Yeah.
Or Saints Row.
If someone else tried it, I wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
But Daryl can do it.
Carol's threat. You think, Carol might not make it.
She might not.
I feel like there's going to be people to die.
Maggie certainly gets attacked. We see that at the end of this.
And
but we don't know. God, if she dies, I'm out. I'm done.
I haven't read it yet, but I've got the spoilers.
We owe it to our listeners to read these.
Okay, so before we read, let's put a little Deadpool. Rick.
Rick is going to survive, obviously. Carl is going to survive.
Lori.
Going to survive.
Herschel.
Dead. Yeah.
Glenn.
Survive.
Maggie.
Survive, please.
Did I say Daryl already?
No. Survive. Daryl's never going to die.
T-Dog.
Dead. Dead. These guys don't give a shit about him.
Carol.
He demanded that second line last episode, and they said that's one too many. Get him out of here.
Yeah. Carol.
Nah, I'll say survive. Why not?
Andrea.
Survive. Oh, yeah.
Beth.
Survive. Sure.
The other one.
The other blonde-haired kid?
Yeah.
Dead.
The other one's boyfriend. Or is that Beth's?
No, that's Beth's husband.
No, that was Otis.
No, she's married to him, right?
No, they're high school sweethearts. They've been dating for 3 weeks.
And now she's married to him.
What?
I don't know.
Quit fucking with me, man.
I thought that's what she said when she was on her deathbed. He's dead.
Okay. So now we play this. I'll tell you what happens.
All right. Wait, you don't want to predict who's going to die?
I think...
Just say, who do you think is going to die?
Beth.
Okay.
And Patricia. Both are going to die.
All right.
So the shot opens in Atlanta. A group of walkers are feasting on what looks like Rick's horse, or what's left of it, when they are startled by the sound of a helicopter flying overhead. Ooh,
flashback.
The horde migrates over several days and even weeks, a great distance, and eventually comes to a fence. The fence bows and breaks under relentless forward motion of the walkers. By the way, this was actually sent in by 4 different people, including our anonymous source. So I'm confident that this is how it's going to happen.
I like that they're showing the fence breaking.
Yeah, the herd presses on, wandering aimlessly into the forest. The walkers turn as a gunshot goes off like a beacon leading them to dinner. Soon they're closing in on Rick and Carl as they leave the scene of Shane's murder. Glenn and Daryl arrive back at the farmhouse. They explain they heard a gunshot and share their confounding findings about Randall. As they walk back to the house, Carl asks Rick what happens to Shane. You see, Carl, when a man hates another man... Sometimes he has to stick his knife into that man.
Yep.
Soon after, they notice the walkers bearing down on him, and it's long Not long before they're overtaken and have to make a run for the barn. Ooh, nice job there, Jim.
Oh, wow, cool.
Back at the house, the rest of the survivors are just figuring out that Carl's missing, and walkers are approaching. Lori is panicking. Herschel passes out guns. The horde is making quick work of the barn. Rick dumps gasoline everywhere, busts open the door to lure the zombies inside, climbs up to the loft with Carl. Carl drops a lighter into the gasoline-soaked hay, igniting everything in sight.
What?
Meanwhile, that's badass. Meanwhile, the men and Andrea shoot from their cars in a futile attempt to corral the herd and buy time. Finally, Daryl figures out that Rick and Carl must be in the barn and instructs Jimmy to drive the RV to the barn to rescue them. Rick and Carl manage to escape barely, while Jimmy is devoured inside the RV. Blood is everywhere, coating the windshield. Survivors are starting to run out of ammo. The horde is too large. The women hold hands and make a run for it as Herschel makes a last stand for the farmhouse. They're just about clear when Patricia is attacked from the side and devoured, while Beth is still holding on to her. Carol is headed off by a few walkers.
Patricia gets eaten.
And backed into a corner with nothing but a plank of wood to defend herself. That's no way to refer to Lori. Andrea saves her, but is attacked from behind and gets pinned under a walker. T-Dog pulls his car around, but quickly has to leave the scene with Beth and Lori before the car is overtaken.
He leaves Andrea?
Yeah!
No!
Glenn tells Maggie that the farm is lost. They have to get off the farm. Herschel comes to the same realization almost too late as a walker sneaks up from behind. Rick saves Herschel, and then they, along with Carl, head out in their own direction. Glenn and Maggie take off as well. Daryl finds Carol about to collapse from running, and they speed off together on Daryl's motorcycle. Andrea is abandoned. The barn collapses into flames, and we're not even halfway done. The group is now scattered.
Whoa.
Glenn and Maggie switch places in the car as Maggie breaks down and can't continue driving. Glenn says they need to make their way to the highway, but Maggie protests that the herd came from that direction. Glenn finally tells Maggie that he loves her.
Wow.
Rick, Carl, and Herschel arrive at the highway where they left a care package for Sophia, hoping that the others will think to rendezvous there. Herschel's ready to part ways, but Rick wants to stick together. Lori and T-Dog argue over where to drive. T-Dog wants to head to the coast, but the plank of wood threatens to jump out of the car if he doesn't turn around and go back to the highway. A walker appears on the highway. Rick is about to give up waiting any longer, but in the nick of time, the other survivors arrive. Time for head count. Shane's dead, Andrew's missing, Patricia's eaten, and Jimmy's splattered. Meanwhile, Andrea is running for her life in the woods, but the walkers pursue her tirelessly as she can't keep this up for long.
She's dead.
These spoilers are very cinematic, by the way. Walkers are emerging from the trees in random directions as Andrea shoots to clear a path. The survivors leave the highway, pushing onward, but soon run out of gas. Several people start to panic and are on the verge of giving up. Rick tries to pull everyone together. The conversation turns to Randall and Shane. Rick has to come clean. He reveals that the secret Jenner whispered to him at the CDC was everyone is a carrier of the infection, and the group is not happy with Rick that he has kept this from him. No shit! Why would he bring this up at this point?
And who gives a fuck? This is not a season cliffhanger type thing.
Yeah, the writers definitely misunderestimated.
Yeah, they think we still care.
Rick and Lori talk privately. Rick tells her what went down with Shane and confesses it wasn't just self-defense. He wanted Shane dead. He was tired of Shane dogging him and acting like Rick stole Lori and Carl from him. Lori freaks out when she finds out Carl's role in Shane's death and withdraws from Rick, refusing to let him touch her. Oh, boy.
Awesome.
Start
the crazy
train
up again.
I'd love to see
Lori. Yeah.
Andrea is exhausted. This is the end of the line. She can't carry her gun bag any longer. Her pistol is out of ammo. She bashes a walker's head in it, and as the walkers enclose her and tear her limb from limb.
Jesus, Andrea is dead?
That's not true.
Good.
Now she's down to knives. Another walker practically on top of her. Enter Michonne to save Andrea at the last minute, towing two armless walkers in chains, samurai sword in hand. What the fuck are people that did not read the comic going to make of this?
I don't know.
Do you know how fantastic this is going to, like, this, especially with the two walkers she got with the chain and the samurai sword?
Hey, man.
It's like you walked into a Tarantino movie all of a sudden.
Yep.
Wow. Ballsy move, writers. The rest of the survivors set up camp in the middle of nowhere. They may have found each other again amid the chaos, but the group is still broken. Many are ready to run off into the dark and leave Rick behind and fend for themselves. They're on the verge of splitting up again when Rick takes back control. He says they are not going anywhere. He killed his best friend for them. This is not a democracy.
Wow. Dictator Rick.
Yeah, he skipped Alpha, just went right to Dictator.
Yeah, he did.
Supreme Commander for life.
Wow.
The camera pans up, and in the distance looms a prison facility.
My question is, in season three, is it going to come back and he's changed his mind again? This is a democracy.
Yeah. Everybody vote. Do we want to move into the prison? You know what? The fantastic thing about the prison is you could have two seasons there.
It's a good set.
It's a fantastic set. The whole clearing and the meeting of the survivors that they're going to meet there likely would consume like a whole season arc. And then you throw in the madness with the Woodbury group and the Gup. And which I think they're going to probably... I think that they've already met them, that Randall's part of that group.
Yeah.
And we already know they casted the governor. My only question is Merle going to be with these dudes? And
I think so.
If he doesn't show up with this group next season, he's never going to show up.
Yeah, it's a red herring if he doesn't.
So, in the distance looms a prison facility. One of the many people that wrote us in, Brian H., he had some comments on this. He says, I'll take Shane, Dale, Jimmy, and Patricia trade for Michonne and her zombie boyfriend and his zombie best friend any day of the week. Hmm. I literally ran around my living room after reading that Michonne is going to have an even more epic entrance than in the comic. That's pretty nice. Good. I see him as like Homer on the ground on the side going, whoop, 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 whoop. Damn. So this is why I think that if you are ready to give up with the show, that if you watch this next episode, you're going to be hooked.
It sounds awesome.
You're going to be hooked because, again, the prison actually is the one location they've been at where they can sustain a damn season. Like the quarry couldn't sustain a 6-episode run. They had to move to the CDC.
Yeah, and that was only 6 episodes. That was half a season, basically.
The fact that they thought that they could stretch the farm out to 13, ridiculous, and they paid the price, but there is...
They haven't paid a price. They've got more fans than ever. It's the biggest show on...
Yeah, but there's critical backlash.
...basic cable for their demographic.
There's critical backlash, and that's usually the bellwether for audience losing interest, too, because right now they're getting a lot of... There's zombie fans, and in fact, there's nothing else on TV like this.
That's true.
However, Steppenwall reminded us... on the podcast today that there is another season show, which I haven't actually seen, but I've heard is well regarded, that took a horrible misstep in season two before it finally rose to greatness, and that's Friday Night Lights.
I haven't seen
season
that.
One was great. Season two, like, was I guess an abortion. Like, they changed characters around. They had a serial killer at one point. And, like, all the stuff that was not anything about...
A football serial killer?
Yeah.
That seems a little weird.
Uh-huh. And it's like one that somebody was playing had a volleyball career going. They talked about this, and I thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
But then season three, they basically disowned that in season three and went on, and it's gotten critical acclaim, and it was really popular. It's one of those things that's on my list of things to watch once I catch up with everything else. But
I hear good things about it.
I think that's my after Homeland, and after I catch up with Boardwalk Empire, that's after. Might be some summer watching. Yeah. But, this is why, even though this episode kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, I'm super psyched for next season.
Definitely. I mean, and it sounds like the finale of this season is going to be awesome, too.
Right.
So, overall, season 2.5, which, can we stop calling it 2.5 now? Can we refer to it as season 2?
Next week. We can say it's season 2.
Overall, it has not been bad. There's been one episode that I really didn't like, which was tonight's, and a phenomenal episode, a good premiere for this half of the season, a lot of good stuff. So, I don't know. I will continue to watch it, I guess, as long as they don't continue to insult my intelligence every week.
How bad has it got to... I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I thought it would be interesting if we were... Because we almost did cover The Killing last year.
Yeah.
And would have been interesting to get like the episode 7 and 8, and everyone's starting to be like, "What the fuck?" And then at the end of the season, when by all reports no one was satisfied with the way it ended, and everybody was pissed off. I kind of wonder. Like, I'm hoping this show gets really, really good, but it would be kind of fun to go down with the ship. Like, cover a dying show that, like, all the fans are turning against, and every week it's like some, like...
You're rooting for this thing to
sink. No,
you are.
No, but, like, honestly, I'm kind of worried about Mad Men.
Well, the twist at the end there was a little weird.
I have a lot of faith with Wiener.
Yep.
But I am very scared that I don't know, man. That twist in season four.
All right, this has nothing to do with The Walking Dead.
Then no one's listening. This is a spoiler section. We have like 15 people to listen to this.
Sure. Probably everybody does.
No.
That's my guess. Everybody is listening.
I know for a fact because we get email that definitely if you listen to SpoilerCast, you wouldn't send us the
email. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so I guess I'm done if you're not going to let me talk about Mad Men.
All right. Ass. Well, I think we spoiled everything we could spoil about next week, so that's it for spoilers.
We did the damn thing on the spoilers this season.
And not just
all
we.
To our anonymous source.
Yeah, our anonymous source. Really bringing the thunder. Wow.
Take that, Mazera. You want his name, you'll have to come on our podcast. I bet
that's the arrangement.
That's right.
Come on our podcast, get grilled, and we'll give you his name.
No, he has to get it out of us. It'll be like dueling interrogations.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I like it.
So,
all right. Well, that's it. We'll see you guys next week
yep.
for the finale.
Yep. Bye.